Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ.
Christ, the one about whom it said in the Gospels, he healed all who came to him. But is it that simple? Sometimes he walked into a crowd, like a crowded pool for healing, and touched only one. What do we do with this whole concept of healing, and more important to our interview today, of wholeness? I'm interviewing Jenny Simmons. She wrote a book called Made Well, that is Finding Wholeness in Everyday Sacred Moments. Jenny, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Where did you get this whole passion on your heart to talk to people about being made well?
Well, I traveled the country for about 11 years with my husband in a band called Addison Road. And we sang songs, on Christian radio and all over the world. And so I spent a decade just after concerts listening to people's stories. And there were so many times I would meet people who would excitedly come up after a show and tell me, God's cured me or God's healed me. And they would share those stories and just with so much love and gratitude and excitement. But then on the flip side of that, I would have people every single show come up afterwards. And they would recount these stories of what they were walking through, the death of their children, of their babies, their sons and daughters overdosing on drugs, the divorce papers going through, you name it, just these very, very broken stories. And I believe it was way back then that I began to wrestle with, what does it look like for God to make us whole? What does it look like for healing to happen even after that thing that you so desperately pray and beg for doesn't come to pass? And in my own life, we've, as a family, had to live that out the past 2 years. And it's been in those 2 years that this book really took root in my soul, because for the first time I had to stand before God and say, this is not how I thought you were going to answer it. And I need to know what it looks like now for healing to take place, because I don't know.
Okay, so there are people out there who say that, hey, if you just have faith, you will be healed. But maybe faith is more complicated than we tend to think. We say it's just believing, but you can't really work up belief. It's not like, I choose to believe, so I believe. There are times when it's hard to believe, and God gives the gift of faith, or maybe when we want to believe, but maybe our faith isn't lined up with God's purpose. Do you think that there might be times, Jenny, when maybe God is training us, or there's a purpose for holding off on a miraculous healing?
I do, and I think I take comfort. Just so many times I have to go back to the life of Jesus. I have to relook at every step he took and the ways that he interacted with people. And he didn't always heal right away. He didn't always walk up to a person and just touch them and boom, they were better. And that's what I really want so many times. And I don't know the reasons why. I wish I knew. I wish I knew why some people are healed and others aren't. But I take great comfort in the life of Jesus and the fact that sometimes he didn't heal the leper. He sat with them and ate dinner with them. And for me, in my finite thinking, I'm like, Lord, just heal the man already. But perhaps healing for the leper is the fact that somebody actually sit next to him. And somebody would actually share a meal with him. And I think sometimes we miss healing because we're looking for the moment where Jesus walks in the room and heals every single person. And instead he's saying, look, I am healing. I'm sitting with the broken. I'm walking with this person. And it looks a lot different than what we think to pray for.
You know, when we think about the Almighty God coming to be among us, then we see that the first thing he wants is a healing of our relationship with him. I mean, he reached all the way down from heaven to earth and died for us. But then we pause and think about him suffering in his flesh, taking scars upon himself, dying. And we recognize that the body is not the number one place of importance to God. Christ rose again with a brand new body. We all will. And so would you agree with the concept that maybe God is first concerned about a relationship with him, healing of the spirit and soul, before he's concerned about the body and that miracle that we can pray for and hopefully see occur? But maybe God's priority is a little different than ours are sometimes.
I think absolutely. In fact, that's the page where my dad's a chaplain in the military, and he's an ordained pastor. And so I get nervous having to write a book and for him to actually have to read it. Cause I'm like, oh, please, I hope it's... I hope it's up to his standards, you know, but he read it, and there is a part where I say, I think our idea of healing has been one-dimensional for so long that we've missed the point that our idea of healing is a physical healing, and that's not always God's idea of healing. And that was the part of the book my dad said, I would buy it just for that one paragraph, because you're right, we've misplaced the importance of what God is longing to heal and restore. He's longing to heal and restore our souls. And I think that is of utmost importance to him. But because we so value our lives and our longevity, I think sometimes we've confused it and gotten it a little bit backwards. And that's what we prize. And that's not, I don't think, what God prizes.
So you're not saying, though, that we should never pray for physical healing. Is that right?
No. I believe there's physical healing. I believe that happens all the time. And I think the scripture is really clear to bring our requests before the Lord, you know, and to believe for big things. So I'm not saying that I don't believe that happens or that we shouldn't do that. But what I think I want people to walk away with is this idea that even if that doesn't happen, you know, it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they go before the king and they say, our God can save, he can, but even if he doesn't, we still put our trust and our faith in him. And so for me, that's what healing is. Like, my God is capable of parting the Red Seas and sending manna from heaven and curing cancer if he so chooses, but even if he doesn't, he is still at work in a thousand tiny ways, leading my soul back to healing and back to wholeness.
I really enjoyed this weekend. We had an event in our area called Awake Western North Carolina, and one of the speakers gave a story I want to share just very briefly for your comment. This man, David Arthur, had been for a few decades living the gay lifestyle, transgendered, spreading AIDS. He had AIDS, of course, and then he had almost every kind of illness you can imagine. For example, diabetes to the nth degree, osteoporosis to where he couldn't stand. His body was caving in on itself. So they put him in a bed, sent him home to die. And he said, if there's a God out there, I want to know. And he started reading the Bible, and he trusted his life to God through Jesus Christ, Christ the healer. And he said, God, I have a peace in my heart for the first time ever. I know my sins are forgiven. I read your word and that you love me. And that's all I need. I'm ready to come home. Mm. And he didn't ask for healing. He just said, Lord, take me. I'm ready. And God healed him miraculously. He describes how, I mean, it was not just immune system down and all the effects of AIDS. It was everything shot in his body. There was no way he could recover, medically speaking. He went to a doctor, for example, about his osteoporosis a month later. They said, your bones are better than someone we would expect at your age. He said, I had osteoporosis. They said, you're lying. There's no way you had osteoporosis. It's clear in your bones. So this guy was miraculously healed. And he was simply seeking God. What thoughts do you have about that?
Well, I think it's amazing. I think it's incredible. There's so many moments that I think God steps out of time and space as we know it, and he shows up and he does something that only God can do. These incredible healing moments. I mean, that story leaves me speechless. It's beautiful. And yet, I think, too, throughout the book, I give examples of people that are praying the same thing and they don't get that cure, but they still get God showing up. One lady in particular stands out to me. She was an Army nurse, and I met her. I was doing a concert at one of the military hospitals up in Seattle, Washington. And she walked in the room, and she was very clearly dying. I mean, you could tell she was on her last maybe a month or so. She had lost her hair. She was hooked up in a machine. She was stage 4 lymphoma and was everywhere. And she came up after the concert, and she handed me a picture that she asked me to bring home and keep. And it was a picture of her hand. It was very frail, and it was outside, and there was a sparrow sitting on her finger. And she looked at me and she said, I may be dying from cancer, but my God sends me sparrows. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, you know, she went on to tell me her nurse brings her outside every day so that she can enjoy the weather. And she said, you know, about a month ago, she was outside and had set her hand down on the table, and this little sparrow came over and perched itself on her finger. And she said she'd never seen anything like it in her life and thought it was just the coolest thing. And the next day she came back, same spot, same time, this little sparrow comes back. And for 3 weeks in a row, this bird comes every single day and sits on her finger. And she took a picture of it. And she said, "My God just told me if I care for the sparrows, how much more do I care for you?" And she said, "You know, I want to be the kind of woman that even if my body is dying of cancer, that I'm still looking for the sparrows." And I thought, my gosh, I want to be that kind of woman too. That even if my body doesn't get the cure that he got or the healing that he found, that I'm still have my eyes and ears open and realize that the sparrow is just one of God's ways of showing up and making me whole even as my body passes away.
There's so much mystery in all this, but there are also these promises. There are promises give us general guidelines. We know God loves us, and we know that we'll have perfect healing one day. But between here and there, when we get new bodies and we're in heaven, we debate about how to approach the concept that this all-powerful, all-loving God has the power to heal us today. Does he always heal? If not, why not? And what you're telling me is it's so much deeper than just the body. Give us a little more, Jenny, either from a story of your example or your understanding, how this whole thing works, because I think it's fresh, it's biblical, it's balanced, and we tend to miss it.
Thank you. Well, you know, honestly, for our family, it started, my sister was pregnant with twin girls, Maggie and Ellen, and her water broke at 17 weeks, which the doctor said meant the babies would die immediately, but they didn't. They lived and they kept growing and getting bigger. And every week that went by, the doctors would say, "This is a miracle. They're going to make it." And it was such a crazy road for my family to walk. Like I said, my dad's a chaplain. He's ordained in ministry. My whole family is. My sister's husband's a pastor, and the whole church was praying. You know, the whole town was praying for a miracle. And my sister woke up actually 2 years ago, almost this week. And she was riddled with infection, rushed to the hospital, and I'll never forget getting on a plane and getting to the hospital and hearing the doctor say, "You know, somebody's going to die today. It's either your sister or these girls, but she has to deliver these babies." And she did, and she gave birth to Maggie and Ellen, and they died in her arms 5 minutes after they were born. And I remember sitting in that hospital thinking, "God, how do we leave? Like, this is not how we saw the end of the story going." And yet, in the same breath, and as uncliché-y as I can possibly say, what happened from that moment on was just miracle after miracle after miracle, and it was not the miracle we prayed for. And I say that in the book, you know, like, this is not, there's so many moments in life where we, I think, look at the Lord and say, "That's not how I wanted that to go. That's not the ending we imagined." And yet, in the midst of that, I could spend the next 3 hours on your show telling you the ways that God showed up in tiny ways and big ways, bringing us closer to healing. And so you're right, it's a mystery. Why didn't the girls live? We don't know. We may never know. What we do know is that in the midst of that, you know, my sister would write on Facebook and say, "In the midst of all this, Emmanuel is God with us, and he is still with us today just as much as he was yesterday." And I started digging into that, and I realized all over again, Emmanuel never came the way we expected. He never came as a tyrant. He never came as a king or a dictator. He came on a donkey in a stable, and it never looked the way we thought. And so I'm trying to become the kind of woman that leans into this idea that maybe I don't have it all figured out, that maybe Emmanuel, God with us, shows up with us in ways that we don't even think to look for or expect.
And what a timely message, Jenny, is here in America, we're being shaken up out of our complacency by circumstances we can't control, whether we see it as political or economical, social, terrorism hitting the world scene. We look on a TV and read the news and notice most of the world is full of suffering. In places where Christians suffer the most, the church is growing best. And here in America, we've become very lukewarm. And it may be that we need a fresh understanding of how God really works. He wants first healing of our relationship with him. He wants us to be bright and alive with his passion, his purpose. And maybe we get there not by finding quick, easy, comfortable answers. And yet we see the power of God released when, like it was in the days of the early church, when the whole government was against the church, and when Paul was willing to be imprisoned, as he went out and preached, there were miracles occurring. We're going to take just a short break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever read the Bible from cover to cover? Bible in 90 Days, or B90, can make that aspiration a reality. So during the month of November 2016, we're offering all B90 Bibles, participants' guides, and leaders' DVD kits at a 10% discount. That's right, 10%. So take advantage of our B90 Thanksgiving special. You too can join thousands of others who can say, "I've read the Bible in 90 days." Go to www.BibleIn90Days.org and use the coupon code B90THANKS10. That's B90THANKS, the numbers 1 and 0. B90THANKS10.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. We have with us guest Jenny Simmons. And I want, as we come back on, Jenny, just to say a word about your book. Listeners, the book is called Made Well. And let me read a quote to you from one author of the book called Fight Back with Joy, Margaret Feinberg. She writes, "When he walked the earth, Jesus said to an unwell man, 'Do you want to be made well?' His invitation stretched beyond physical healing. He sought to restore the soul. The same invitation stands for us today, for anyone struggling on a journey toward wholeness. Jenny Simmons offers a resting place and a friend along the way. With personal insights into emotional pain, she invites you to encounter a God who is working out your restoration, often in surprising ways. Her humorous and inspirational prose lights a path toward wholeness." So I encourage you to consider getting this book, and we're talking now with the author. Jenny, how do they get their book, your book?
Yeah, it's available anywhere you purchase books. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Lifeway Christian Store. You can get them online or hopefully pick them up at your local bookstore.
Okay, and the thesis then seems to be the subtitle, Finding Wholeness in the Everyday Sacred Moments. Are you suggesting, Jenny, that if I get a hold of this concept of a sovereign God who really loves me, even if life is sometimes hard, that every moment can be special and sacred?
Absolutely. I think God shows up in everyday, ordinary moments, and they don't often look like what we're praying for. That actually reminds me of one of the stories in the book. It was one of the worst days ever as a traveling musician. We had gone across the country with our daughter to Montana, and there were 7 of us traveling. We got there for the show, and the promoter told us right from the get-go that she actually didn't have the money to pay for our airfare or to pay the fee that she was supposed to pay us, and there was nobody there for this concert. There were 10 people. There was a rainstorm coming, and it was just one of those moments where you're like, what am I doing with my life? Everything just kind of felt like it was falling apart. And I remember the rainstorm coming, so I run into this tent, and I meet this man named Jimmy, and he's a worm farmer, and I tell in the book about how he is just the happiest, most giddy, excited man I've ever met in my life about his worm poop. And he goes on and on telling me about this worm poop, how it has transformed his life and his garden, and now he harvests like millions of worms, and he collects their poop and sells it at Christian festivals, apparently. And he pulled my hands out. He said, "Feel it." And I was like, no, thank you. I trust you. And he was like, no, you got to feel it. And he takes my hands and he shoves them down into this big burlap sack of worm poop. And I just started dying laughing. Like, I couldn't. It's just the irony of the whole situation was so, so funny to me. But when I look back at that day, what I remember walking away with is not the frustration or the anger of, you know, of losing thousands of dollars and all this stuff. It's I remember Jimmy. And I always think about that worm poop, and I think, you know what, sometimes God works through worm poop to bring joy and laughter and healing. And it's not what we pray for. We pray for miracles and cures, and sometimes what we get instead is worm poop, and sometimes that's enough. And I think if we're not looking for those types of moments, those types of little tiny moments of grace and joy and laughter, and the way that God brings those into our story of brokenness, then we really run the risk of missing what his healing might look like.
I remember once my father-in-law years ago was visiting. We had then our children were young, and as a pastor and so forth, I was always busy. I can't say I'm much different today, but at one point he's visiting and he looked at me and he said, "Bill, stop and smell the roses." That really hit me. It's like, wow, I've forgotten to enjoy the moments. Every moment God is present here, and there's something beautiful about each moment if I could just pause and ask God to help me see and to smell, to recognize what he's up to. So thank you for that story. That worm poop just really warmed my heart. So if you could tell our listeners succinctly from your heart what it is we need to get a hold of here, based on the story of your life thus far. You know, I think we each have sort of a life story, and yours, I suspect, is a central thread through this book. But bring it to us straight and hit us between the eyes, Jenny. We need to hear it.
So, you know, I think at the heart of all this is that God is at work in ways that we are not expecting. And our job, my job, is to keep my eyes open, my heart open to look for that. It comes in unexpected ways, and it comes when we're slow enough to take it in. You know, I think throughout the book and throughout my own journey, what I want people to hear and to pick up is that if we're looking for it, we're going to see God show up in 1,000 different ways, and it's so often not what we expect and not what we pray for, and that's okay. And that's okay because God works in mysterious ways. And so I want to be the kind of person that's open to following those mysterious ways. And sometimes that looks like, you know, I think we have these ideas that healing has to happen on some sort of exotic trip or vacation. You know, we get to go around the world or something, and we look at other people's journeys and say, well, why isn't my journey happening like that? The truth is, healing takes time, and it's often like a slow dance. It's not something that just miraculously shows up at our doorstep all the time. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we're like the bleeding woman. We touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and his healing power goes out, and we're made well. And those moments, I think we tell the story, and we share God's faithfulness, and we talk about the ways that our God has shown up and done something divine and miraculous. And yet other times it looks a lot like Jesus saying to Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. I choose you. And coming and sitting and eating with us, the sinner, and journeying with us until we're made well. And so my prayer is that we would be the kind of people that don't just look for the instant healing, but realize that sometimes healing takes time, and it's a process. And Jesus goes to that man at Bethesda, and he looks him in the eyes, and he does like exactly what I don't want him to do. I want Jesus to show up Bethesda and heal everybody. You know, I want everybody waiting by those waters to just be like magically cured. And but that's not what happens. He walks straight up to that man, and he does what he does best. He invites him. He looks him in the eyes, and he says to this man who's been sick for 30 plus years, "Do you want to be made well?" And so I think a lot of it comes down to us making a decision. I want to be whole. I want to be made well. I want to take a journey alongside a healer who is restoring me inside and out. And the man looks at him and finally says, you know, yes, I want to be made well. But I love in that passage that Jesus just doesn't magically do it. It's an invitation, and it's extended to each one of us. It's, I think, sometimes within our grasp to say yes or no to that invitation. And so my prayer is that we become a people that begin to say, yes, we're ready to be made well.
As we close out here, you know, you gave stories of Christ healing, and we should ask ourselves, what if we were there in that day as the disciples? The disciples who went through hard times and followed Christ and were building a relationship with him. They saw a lot of miracles. They saw a lot of people Christ passed by, but the long-term wholeness that he offered to them, as he told Peter, you know, Peter, you're a rock. And then Peter ends up feeling like a piece of the mud as he denies his Lord and for some time is in misery because Christ is praying for him and waiting for him to become stronger. And through pressure, Peter comes a true, solid foundation for the church. And that's for each of us. But it's, as you say, it's not always overnight. The physical may be quick. There may be a quick healing, but the wholeness God desires is of the whole being. It's our relationship with him. We are his disciples. Jenny, thank you so much for this time, for your insights, for the book, and for being on the air with us today.
Absolutely. It's such an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.